Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week. This is, I suppose, for April Fool's Day, and we had kind of joked about coming on and saying, everything's okay, go back to sleep. But, of course, unfortunately, we know that is not the case. And we have a lot of news to go over this week, and we're going to start on MediaMonarchy.com with a report, two-part. First, from the New York Times, and I gave it the headline, Decider-in-Chief Bypasses Congress, Then Visits His Afghan Surge. So the first from the New York Times, Obama bypasses Senate process, filling 15 posts. President Obama making a muscular show of his executive authority just one day after Congress left for spring recess, said last Saturday that he would bypass the Senate and install 15 appointees, including a union lawyer to whose nomination to the National Labor Relations Board was blocked last month with the help of two Democrats. Coming on the heels of Mr. Obama's big victory on health care legislation, the move suggests a newly emboldened president who is unafraid to provoke confrontation with the minority party. Just 2 days ago, all 41 Senate Republicans, or 2 days before this bypassing of Senate, all 41 Senate Republicans sent Obama a letter urging him not to appoint union lawyer Craig Becker. And we do have a link to a YouTube video that breaks down some of the history of Craig Becker and his connections to the unions. Mr. Obama's action in defiance of the Republicans was hailed by union leaders, but also seems certain to intensify the partisan rancor that yada yada left-right paradigm. Jumping down, it was the first time the president has used his constitutional authority to fill vacant federal positions by making recess appointments, thus avoiding the requirement for the advice and consent of the Senate. Mr. Obama, who currently has 217 nominees pending and 77 awaiting action on the Senate floor, said Republicans had given him little choice. Now, the headline again of this decider-in-chief is, of course, the reference to our previous puppet, President George Bush, doing all the same things now we see the Prince of Peace Prize Obama. So using, again, what George Bush called after the 04 elections, his political capital, this is now seemingly what we see Obama doing. So after he bypassed the Senate and appointed folks that are unliked to a lot of different positions, which we're going to follow up on in just a few minutes, he then jetted off for a surprise appearance for the Afghan surge. This from the Wall Street Journal, Obama rallies troops in Afghanistan. Obama's unannounced trip to Afghanistan capped the most eventful week in his presidency, a week that saw victory of his signature domestic initiative, completion of a nuclear arms accord with Russia, and a nighttime rally with thousands of cheering troops. It also signaled that after a year mired in healthcare politics, Obama hopes to return to the multiplicity of issues at home and abroad that have languished in the shadows of his one huge domestic fight. Those include the war in Afghanistan, confronting Iran over its nuclear weapons, job creation, and senior-level appointments. James, a lot of this kind of speaks for itself, and it's, you know, hope and change that we were foolish to even believe in for a second.
Change.
Obama.
Change.
What's our second story?
Exactly. They speak for themselves. Our second story follows up on the bypassing of Senate, but we're going to hop over to one of my sister sites, foodworldorder.com, and get a report from allgov.com. Obama appoints ex-pesticide lobbyist as agriculture trade negotiator. Islam Siddiqui, and that's S-I-D-D-I-Q-U-I, I believe affectionately known as Izzy. Islam Siddiqui's recess appointment as chief agricultural negotiator in the Office of U.S. Trade Representative has sparked considerable opposition from environmentalists and organic farmers. Siddiqui served as vice president for science and regulatory affairs at Crop Life America, a trade association for the pesticide and biotech industries. He's also worked as a registered lobbyist advocating for the interests of companies like Monsanto, Syngenta, DuPont, and Dow. This work has, quote, revealed him to consistently favor agribusiness's interest over the interest of consumers, the environment, and public health. Now, there are letters and, of course, numerous links to flesh this story out. Organicconsumers.org, of course, trying to help lead the charge in at least calling attention to this kind of situation. We know, of course, he appointed Tom Vilsack, again, another Monsanto creature. And Food World Order presage this story, or rather we get the flashback going back to November of last year, Obama's pesticide-pushing nominee. James, what's your take on this disgusting development?
It seems like we've covered this story before. Or that was Tom Vilsack, the Monsanto employee, or was that the Raytheon lobbyist that they appointed as Deputy Secretary of Defense, or is that
Microsoft guy they made cyber czar,
or is that the telecommunications lobbyist that they made FCC appointee, there's more. There was the Goldman Sachs lobbyist that they appointed to the Treasury Secretary.
Geithner, yeah.
Yeah.
So again, referencing back to the first story of Obama bypassing the Senate and filling these 15 posts, we've only mentioned Islam Siddiqui to the Office of Trade Representative as ag negotiator, and we mentioned Craig Becker tied in with the unions. So that means there are 13 other creatures that, again, I unfortunately haven't had the time yet to investigate, that I'm sure would probably uncover, again, the same revolving door between private sector and grease in the palms. And again, the parties may change, the faces may change, the agenda unfortunately rolls on.
That's exactly right. And before the angry emails come in, I meant the Treasury chief of staff, not the Secretary Geithner, but actually his chief of staff was literally a registered Goldman Sachs lobbyist. So there you go. Plus several other lobbyists in high appointee positions. So it does just roll on and on and on and on.
And of course, too, saying, all the American public will always have 5 days to look at any legislation. Just, again, broken promise after broken promise.
Absolutely, and we'll just keep tabbing them up as they come along. So, in the interest of having something of a lighthearted or better story for our third story, let's change gears entirely and take a look at a completely different story from MediaMonarchy.com.
And again, we'll return to the New York Times. Judge invalidates human gene patent. And we do have numerous other stories to flesh this out. The great headline from Food Freedom: genetic shock, DNA unpatentable, says New York District Court. A federal judge this past Monday struck down patents on two genes linked to breast and ovarian cancer. The decision, if upheld, and that was going to be the key, the decision, if upheld, could throw into doubt the patents covering thousands of human genes and reshape the law of intellectual property. United States District Court Judge Robert W. Sweet issued a 152-page decision which invalidated seven patents related to the genes BRCA1 and BRCA2, whose mutations have been associated with cancer. The ACLU and the Public Patent Foundation at the Benjamin Cardoza School of Law in New York joined with individual patients and medical organizations to challenge the patents last May. They argued that genes, products of nature, fall outside the realms of things that can be patented. The patents, they argue, stifle research and innovation and limit testing options. James, what's your take on this story? And the article, of course, goes on. And again, we have related updates coming from ArsTechnica.com and SingularityHub.com. But James?
Right. And I do suggest people go in and check more into the related links, because I think you also have the decision itself linked up as a PDF file.
Yes.
And absolutely, this is an extremely, extremely important topic, and it ties into a lot of other topics. And I think if there have been two incredibly huge mistakes, or I suppose they were planned to be this way, so they're not really mistakes, but horribly wrong turns that American jurisprudence has taken. It was granting personhood to corporations, which we all know was done by a skull and bones judge. And then we also have the 1980, it was around 1980, decision to allow patents for genetically engineered life forms. And to patent genes is just another extension of that. If people can patent genes, then companies can control things like gene therapies. When you go to get gene therapy, you have to pay an exorbitant amount of money to a company that really has nothing to do with you or your treatment, but because they have certain genes patented. It's a ridiculous situation. And to see that there is some sanity among some judges in some parts of the system at least gives a little bit of hope that hopefully, you know, you never know, some of the other atrociously horrible rulings that have been handed down in the past can be overturned someday by some judge who actually, you know, uses their brain.
And again, if upheld, this decision, that is going to be the key, I believe.
Exactly. All right. Okay, James Evan Pilato, throw out the websites one more time.
The main three websites are MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Take care.